show you something beautiful. The whole world screaming for mercy. Everyone tangled in strings.
What's up, guys, and welcome to The Fiction Fix, a Screen Junkie's guide to everything, your one-stop shop for film, TV, and everything in between. I'm Ben.
I'm Rohan.
And again, there's no Marty.
No.
If you guys are listening to our last podcast, this podcast is being recorded at the exact same time as our last episode.
It's a special two-parter.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why they're being released very close to each other. This podcast episode, we're going to be discussing everything you need to know about Marvel and DC and everything superhero news in the cinematic universe.
Yeah, we've refrained from talking about this stuff too much on our Facebook page. So now we have a special episode completely dedicated to talking about Marvel and DC.
Yeah, exactly. There's been so much news going out lately. There's been casting news, all these trailers and release dates and titles and whatnot. And we thought that just to condense it all into one podcast for you, save all the spoilers in the past, you know, a few podcasts that we've released, and just to condense it all into one podcast for you would be to have this like nice little... That's a little present for you for Christmas. Kind of like, just give it to you, you know?
From us to you. Merry Christmas.
Exactly. So, while this is being given out to you guys a little bit later, this is being recorded about 24, 48 hours after these major casting announcements.
Yeah.
So, this is for us fresh off the press. But this is probably after you've taken a little bit of time to let it sink in, and now you can listen to some in-depth discussion about it all. So we'll start off maybe talking about the biggest franchise of them all, which is Disney's Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
So what we've seen so far, we've had three Iron Mans, we've had two Captain Americas, two Thors, we've had one Avengers, and that's all we've seen really. We haven't had standalone films for Hulk or for Black Widow or anything like that, which people are still looking out for those two.
Yeah.
But they're not actually planned as of yet, those two films.
Yeah, they aren't. And I think that I'm fairly ambivalent about that because I enjoy seeing those characters in a group dynamic rather than on their own. Yeah. I don't know what they can do.
Yeah, I think we've seen the Hulk too many times in a standalone film. And if they did it again, it'd just feel like recycling, I guess.
Yeah, like everybody knows the origin story of the Hulk. Nobody needs to hear it again.
Yeah, exactly. And Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow, while she's awesome, I feel like they had a movie just as her on her own,
there
wouldn't be that sort of... Because I think that you can have too much of a good thing.
Yeah.
And I just think it's great having her in that group dynamic. I agree. She can showcase her badassery. In comparison to other, like... And I feel like just having her standalone, you can't have too much of that.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Yeah, so we've got a list here. And with release dates and names and stuff like that for both Marvel and DC up until 2020. And maybe we'll go through the films individually. So the first one for Marvel coming out is on May 1st, 2015. The big one, which is Avengers 2,
Yay!
Age of Ultron.
I'm so excited. And the trailer for this has come out recently as well.
Oh, well, ages ago.
Yeah.
We held out talking about that.
We have.
In the past few podcasts, purely because we wanted to talk about it all in this one podcast.
Yes.
And that trailer is amazing.
Amazing, oh my God.
The music is phenomenal. Everything about it just gets me so pumped up and man,
it's so great.
Age of Ultron, I'm super looking forward to. I mean, I know, I've read and I've seen the Ultron storyline loads of times. So I know a bit about what happens, and I'm interested to see what they're going to do on screen, because it is a massive, massive feat, this Ultron story. Ultron, as we know, was created by, in the comic books and the cartoons, it was created by Hank Pym, who is Ant-Man. As a servant or a slave or whatever, and in the end he turns evil and he sets out to destroy the Avengers and restore the world, because humans are, as he says, Tangled in Strings.
Yeah, and who is our very enigmatic voice of Ultron?
James Spader, who James we would Spader. Know off Blacklist.
Yes, and Boston Legal, and a whole lot of other things.
And has he done... I'm not sure whether he's done voice acting before, but just listening to him in this trailer, I feel like his voice is a bit high for me. Like, maybe a bit of voice modulation to make it a bit lower.
Were you thinking more of James Earl Jones?
I was thinking more of a... No, not that low. I was thinking more of, like, an Andy Serkis sort of...
Oh, yeah, okay. I get that. Yeah. Look, James Spader is great. I watched Boston Legal as I was growing up, and I love The Blacklist right now. James Spader is such a great kind of sinister character.
Yeah.
In The Blacklist, Raymond Reddington, you know, you don't really know whether he's a good guy or a bad guy, but he's so kind of conniving and manipulative and sinister and twisted. And James Spader plays that evil-ish character really well. And
he does.
I have a very kind of... high expectation, or I'm like quite excited to see what he does with this character.
I think a lot of it is the way he enunciates his words and the way he like sort of pronounces different things certain ways, and in a similar way to sort of like the old Alan Rickman way. Like,
yeah,
he draws things out, and it's very iconically Alan Rickman, and very iconically villainous. And it's really interesting, and I really enjoy that casting choice. But the thing is that they're not introducing Ant-Man yet. They're introducing him later on in July 17, 2015, which means that Ultron will not be created by Ant-Man. So it's going to be created by Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Which is already an alter... Alternate
universe. I'll say that.
Well, yeah. It's
different.
Yeah, they've already changed up the comic book. So it interests me as to how else they're going to change it up, what else they're going to do to put it on the big screen that captivates audiences that have read the story before and are already well accustomed with it.
Yeah. Well, the thing that Marvel is facing now is this idea of a whole new generation of loyal comic book readers.
Right.
And, like, you're more of a comic book reader than I am, although I am obsessed with Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
but I think that having this new kind of era of comic book readers makes for better movies.
Right.
Because it means that they are going to put more detail into what they're doing. They're not making their Marvel movies just to be gratuitous action movies.
No, they're not.
They're movies with serious plot.
Yeah, that's one thing that I really, really commend Marvel and Disney for doing.
Yes.
Is they're doing this sort of thing. They're not just relying on the stories of the comic books and stuff like that. They're actually rejuvenating it, so it matches this 21st century depth, and like it satisfies our contemporary expectations for films.
Yeah.
Because like back in the 20s, like in the 80s. When like you had Die Hard and stuff like that, yeah, they were great characters and whatnot, but really it's just all this action. You're like, yeah, explosions, woo, Michael Bay. But nowadays we really expect complexities, we expect depth, we expect characters as well as action, and Marvel has done extraordinarily well with that. And that's what I really appreciated about the Avengers, was this ability to bring in so many huge franchises and make this amazing series, and they did it really well with this amazing blend of action and comedy and characters that you felt for.
Yeah.
You really rooted for these characters.
And, I mean, Joss Whedon is back for this movie.
Thank God. As writer and as director.
Yes.
I mean, if Avengers 2 didn't show how good he was...
Avengers 1
didn't showcase how good he was, Avengers 2 will hopefully show that.
I mean, Joss Whedon has, like, pretty much a perfect track record. He's got, under his belt, he's got Buffy, Angel, Firefly, Serenity... Cabin in the Woods, Dollhouse. Like, all of these things are so great.
Yeah.
And so I think that... just having Joss Whedon on this project by itself should increase the standard of the movie tenfold.
Yeah. Going back to the interesting part, which is that Ant-Man won't be a part of it.
Yeah.
He's coming out, like, 2 months later.
Yeah.
In his own standalone film, where, again, they're sort of changing it up a little bit, where Michael Douglas plays Hank Pym. Hank Pym is meant to be the sort of young Ant-Man who is... Ant-Man, as people like us would know, is like sort of is psychologically not all there.
Yeah.
Like, while he's the smartest man in Marvel Comics,
yeah,
he's smarter than Bruce Banner, smarter than Tony Stark, he is sort of like, he's a little bit unstable mentally. And Michael Douglas plays Hank Pym, although he's playing an older Hank Pym. And Paul Rudd is playing Scott Lang.
Mm.
What's meant to happen in the comic books is that Hank Pym dies later on after becoming Ant-Man and passes it passes the baton on to Scott Lang. What's going to be interesting here is how they do that, because Hank Pym here is obviously going to be older. He's not going to be able to be a superhero.
Yeah.
What are they going to do here to be able to show Paul Rudd, who has not created Ant-Man, as like becoming this great superhero who has really grounded himself from being incredibly, incredibly smart and using that intellect to like foil villains' motives or whatever. And it's really interesting to see how they're going to do that. So already we can see these changes that Marvel are using on the screen than they did in the comic books. And it's not making me worried, though.
Yeah.
Where it would usually make me worried that they change massive parts of the original like storylines like this, this, I feel like it's in capable hands. I feel like, although Ant-Man in itself is kind of worrisome in that they don't have Edgar Wright, they have the guy who wrote, do you know who's directing Ant-Man? It's the guy who did Where the Millers.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Gets me a little bit nervous, because they did have Edgar Wright, but then they had this whole...
I'm quite a fan of Edgar Wright. He did Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, and that's one of my favorite movies.
He's also done, like, the Cornetto series.
Yeah.
The old Nick Frost and Simon Pegg stuff, like The World's End and Shaun of the Dead.
Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, so he's an incredible comedy actor.
Yeah.
Comedy director. And the thing about Ant-Man is that Ant-Man is a very funny guy.
Yeah.
He's sort of almost a little bit like Deadpool in that way, which we're going to discuss, in that he's sort of the comedic relief of the Avengers. While he is incredibly smart and is very good at what he does and is integral to the Avengers themselves, he is a little bit like Deadpool, and that he sort of like relieves the tension a little bit. And Paul Rudd is a great choice for that. I'm really glad that they have him, but it's just without Edgar Wright, I'm a little bit nervous as to how they're going to balance the action comedy there. But I'm still super excited because Ant-Man is personally my favorite or second favorite Avenger, which is a big call considering he hasn't been put on screen yet. But just from like the comics and stuff, he is a fascinating character. And if you know what happens later on in his life and like becoming Yellowjacket and stuff like that, and the Wasp and his relationship with other Avengers.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, his character. He's actually the most complex character of the lot, actually. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then go check it out. Just do a quick Wikipedia blog, because it's actually fascinating. I'm really interested to see how that works out.
Yeah, me too.
But we got a big one the year after, in May 6, 2016.
Yeah, it is Captain America, Civil War.
Oh, boy. So what they did, Marvel was at the big press conference, right? So, and they were releasing all these names and the timeline of when all these films are going to come out. They had Avengers 2, Ant-Man. Then they had Captain America, the Snake Society. And everyone was like, oh, okay. Because we already knew that Iron Man, a.k.a. Robert Downey Jr., was going to be in Captain America 3, but we weren't sure in what capacity.
Yeah.
And we hypothesized here that it was going to be a Civil War thing. And then when I heard Snake Society, I was a bit like, oh, really, though? Like, is that really the way you want to go down? Like,
yeah.
Snake Society, don't really know what that is. And you're using Iron Man in what way? And then they go through the rest of them. And at the end, they're like, you know what? Screw it. It's actually Captain America Civil War. And they, this massive thing came up, Captain America Civil War. And the crowd just went nuts. Because Civil War is the biggest and most intense plot of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
It is absolutely
crazy. It's all been leading up to this.
Because Civil War, and I won't go into spoilers, no. But it's basically just about like whether or not you should register people with powers, and Iron Man and Nick Fury and S.H.I.E.L.D. and whatnot are all like, yeah, I think we should register because, you know, after like Ultron and after all that sort of stuff, we should really sort of register these people to make sure that we can keep them on tap. And then Captain America's like, no, freedom, like the American way, we have to make sure that people are like liberated and whatnot. So that's my impression of Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans.
Sorry. So they're basically pitted up against each other. And Captain America's Civil War will honestly be possibly the biggest Marvel film to date at that point.
I'm so excited for it. I have all of the comics at home. I'm, like, very excited.
Yeah, and the fact that they have Iron Man in there, and they're starting this massive plot, not in an Avengers film, but in a standalone
Captain America film.
It's really, really interesting. And as we'll talk about later, it was supposed to be released on the same day as Batman vs. Superman, yeah. Dawn of Justice. But since then, DC has actually delayed their release date of Batman vs. Superman to March 2016. Oh, no, sorry. It pushed it forward to March 2016 so that it doesn't clash, which I personally think was a fantastic idea.
Yeah, look, it was going to start its own civil war.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, personally, if Captain... like, Captain America being Captain America Civil yeah. War, I personally think that would have beaten Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, apart from the fact that Marvel has a better reputation than DC, just the fact that...
it's the storyline.
The storyline is so much more intense. Like, Batman vs. Superman sounds very kind of cliched.
And also because Batman vs. Superman, as we will go into later, has a few, like, controversies about it.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, really? I'm a bit iffy about these and casting choices.
Coming off the back of the last the last Superman movie, yeah, Man of Steel, the expectation for this movie is not high. Whilst coming off the back of every Marvel movie, including like Iron Man 3,
and with Captain Avengers America 2,
Avengers 2, that this is going to be a lot. But it already does. It has a lot more hype than Batman vs. Superman.
And what Marvel has done extraordinarily well is that they've waited.
Yeah.
Marvel is possibly the most patient and the most calculated organization in Hollywood. They have done extremely well in building up these characters. They've given us 3 Iron Man films, 2 Avengers films at this point, an Ant-Man film and 2 Thor films. And it's just... this patience there to help us build the characters, to help us relate to these characters, so many of them, and then, boom, all of a sudden, Captain America Civil War, after we, like, in the middle of Phase 3 of the Avengers, that's when we get the big one, and that's when we see it. So it's not just, like, in the first Iron Man or the second Iron Man that we see the build-up of Civil War. It's right in the, right at the end, right in the middle of Phase 3 that we see it, and that's a fantastic choice. Like, in the same way that, like, Dark Knight introduced the Joker rather than Batman Begins introducing the Joker. They waited, and it's that patience there that has really done them justice, and it's definitely going to pay off in the end.
Yeah.
I can see, because we know that they can do it well.
We do, definitely.
And so I think that Phase 3 of the Avengers is going to be absolutely phenomenal. So excited for it. With his Civil War storyline, it's a fantastic choice, and hopefully the main cast still stays on board.
Yeah.
I mean, Iron Man... I keep saying Iron Man. Robert Downey Jr. is contracted to stay until at least the third Avengers film. Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth are not necessarily obliged to stay, but I think they should, although seeing how Chris Evans has like gone off and done Snowpiercer and whatnot, he might be less inclined to stay. But hopefully they do, because Phase 3 of the Avengers is looking...
like very positive.
Extraordinarily positive. And we got a little bit of a deviation here in that Marvel is also introducing a Deadpool film.
Yeah.
In 2016. Deadpool was rumored and on and off. It was sort of...
in a similar kind of method to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, less so, because Guardians of the Galaxy was kind of oh, wait, that's coming out? Oh, yeah. I don't really know much about them. Deadpool was more like, it's happening, it's not happening. Is it happening? I don't know. What's happening? I don't know what's going on. And then Ryan Reynolds has recently, in the past 24 hours or 48 hours, has said, yes, Deadpool is happening. I'm starring as Deadpool. Because Ryan Reynolds was Deadpool in X-Men Origins Wolverine. Yeah. Which, don't even talk to me about that. Awful film, but Deadpool was...
I love how bad that film is.
But Deadpool as a character is very, very funny. He's so... and he does some really amazing things, that he breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah.
And we saw a teaser to what the film could be a couple months back with Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, where he would talk to the camera, things would be slow-mo, and he'd say these really sick one-liners. And he's just that sort of fun character that we're looking forward to, because...
yeah.
While he's part of the X-Men and it won't tie in with the cinematic universe, it's just fun to see how Marvel's taking a risk with this. And they're saying, you know what? Fans, have a little bit of fun with Deadpool while we focus on Avengers. Just enjoy that, because you know you've been asking for it.
Yeah.
And Ryan Reynolds finally gets to return as Deadpool.
Yeah. Once again, I think that we're seeing just a whole lot of payoff from Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And I think that that's so important. Movies sometimes forget that there are actually, like, fans who want to see specific things happen. Instead, they focus on, you know, raking in money at the box office. Yeah.
I will say, though, that Deadpool is part of the X-Men and... Well, not part of the X-Men, but it's part of the X-Men franchise. Yeah,
the X-Men universe.
And the X-Men universe is not owned by Disney. So no. So it's completely separate to the Avengers. It's owned by, I think, Fox. So that's completely separate, but I just thought because it is technically Marvel.
Yeah.
So, and while they don't own the rights just right at this moment... I just thought it'd be interesting to say that Deadpool is coming out and that it's really interesting to see another Marvel film that's been so hyped up to be thrown in amongst the mix, as well as X-Men Apocalypse. That's going to be thrown in there as well. So
yeah.
Got a whole lot of Marvel stuff to look forward to, whether like no matter what studio is coming from. Then there's been a casting confirmation, which we speculated on earlier.
Yes, we did.
Which is... the Doctor Strange casting.
Yeah, and we have, as Doctor Strange, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Fantastic.
I love that guy.
Dude, Benedict Cumberbatch is one of the greatest actors of this century.
Yeah.
From the 2000s onwards, he has proven himself to be just a very capable actor.
He's a powerhouse.
Sherlock, Imitation Game, which is coming out.
I'm so excited to see the Imitation Game.
Which is another Oscar contender. And his voice is in Smaug in
Oh God, yeah.
He's proven himself time and time again to be a wonderful actor, and to see him as a superhero, as Doctor Strange no less, it's interesting because it's such a massive turn.
Yeah.
But if anyone can pull it off, it's Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch can do anything, quite literally.
Yeah, literally anything.
So I'm excited to see that. I think that it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, he's the only one cast in that film. It's coming out in 2016, same year as Captain America Civil War and Deadpool, as well as a whole load of DC movies. So 2016,
it's going to be a big year.
Huge year. My God. IMDb says this little bit of a one-liner about Doctor Strange, saying, after his career is destroyed, a brilliant but arrogant surgeon gets a new lease on life when a sorcerer takes him under his wing and trains him to defend the world against evil. So it's going to be interesting to see how Marvel ties that in with the Avengers. Because I don't remember Doctor Strange being a huge part of the Avengers. He was there, but he wasn't major.
Yeah.
But it's going to be really interesting to see how they do that. And Benedict Cumberbatch, whew. Great choice, but it's going to be another standalone film, as well as a whole load of other standalone films that they've announced as well that are going to happen later on in 2018 and stuff. But Doctor Strange, that's all the information we've got for Doctor Strange right now.
Yeah,
but that's coming out in 2 years' time, and Benedict Cumberbatch, fantastic. And then in May 5th, 2017, Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yay!
Which is interesting that they greenlit that now. And because the way I see things working out is that Guardians of the Galaxy will, Chris Pratt and whatnot, will, join in and fuse in with the current Avengers and with other future Avengers, such as Doctor Strange, Black Panther, and Captain Marvel, and the Inhumans, later on. And they will start to, amalgamate together in the Avengers 3 Part 1, which is Avengers Infinity War Part 1. Yes. And then all of a sudden people will leave, maybe Captain America will leave or will pass on the shield to, say, the Falcon, aka Anthony Mackie. Things will happen, people will leave, people will come in, and then Avengers the Infinity War Part 2 is when, the new Avengers or, the reconfigured Avengers will, do whatever against Thanos and whatnot. So,
Thanos.
Yeah. So, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 really shows us that they are going to be integral to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that it's not going to be just that one standalone franchise that's separate to the rest. They're actually going to come in
and
they're going to incorporate themselves within the main Avengers core.
Which is so exciting. Guardians of the Galaxy is definitely one of my favorite movies of this year, and so I'm really excited to see what they do with it for next time.
Yeah, I'm glad that they brought it, that they're bringing it back.
Me too.
It was an enjoyable film. I'm just interested to see how they're going to deal with the next one, because... while it was a good film, it wasn't the greatest, especially for Marvel, because with the villains and the plot and whatnot.
That's true. The villains weren't that great. I just really, really liked the group dynamic that everyone
had. Oh, no. It was a great group dynamic.
And Chris Pratt was hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm super pumped for that.
Yeah.
Then on July 28th, 2017,
we have Thor.
Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, my God.
So what Ragnarok is, Ragnarok was a sort of... I don't know if it's a cyborg, but it's basically a replica of Thor.
Yeah.
So Thor and Ragnarok pit against each other. This is the third Thor film. So
think Superman Bizarro kind of dynamic.
Exactly like that. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do this and whether Ragnarok is going to play a bigger part in the Avengers franchise as a whole.
I would be interested in seeing that, actually.
Yeah, whether or not it's just going to be this one standalone film with him. Because what Thor is doing separately to Captain America and Iron Man is that Thor seems to have its own little thing going on.
Yeah.
Whereas Captain America and Iron Man, all their plots, as epitomized by Captain America Civil War, are also really, really strongly integrated with the Avengers franchise as a whole.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see whether Thor Ragnarok will also become a part of that, whether it'll remain its sort of own standalone sort of subsidiary storyline. So
that'd be interesting.
Yeah, I'm interested about that. Obviously, Ragnarok is probably going to be played by Chris Hemsworth as well.
Yeah.
So Chris Hemsworth fighting Chris Hemsworth. Who doesn't want to see that sort of battle? Two of the sexiest men alive. Because he was...
Chris Hemsworth, sexiest
man alive.
There we go.
So to see two of him on screen sort of man wrestling, sure, that'll increase the female audience ratio. And then in November 3rd, 2017, Jesus, massive year, 2017 as well. Wow, we've got Black Panther.
Yes.
And Black Panther, the actor, has already been confirmed to be Chadwick Boseman, who most of us would know as... No, and where is it? Where... Okay. Sorry. Chadwick Boseman, who most of us would know as... No, I'm going to start again. Starring Chadwick Boseman, who most of us would know as the lead in 42 and Get On Up.
Okay.
So he's proven himself to be an accomplished actor, but he's not, like, really broken into that sort of Marvel realm yet, like that sort of superstardom, you know?
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how he can do it. He is American, I believe, so it's going to be interesting to see how he's going to take on an African actor, a character, because Black Panther is meant to be the king of Wakanda.
Yeah.
Who is, like, who's fighting against the tyranny of, or the oppression of Western civilization on his people.
Yes, very colonialism kind of, like, base.
Yeah, exactly. So he uses vibranium, which is the same material as Captain America's shield and Ultron.
Yeah.
Which is indestructible, and it uses energy and vibrations that it, like, builds up or whatnot, and he uses it against its opponents and whatnot. I don't know. Hard to explain. But he uses that, and I'm really glad they brought Black Panther up, because it should be noted that Marvel brought out this list after DC brought out theirs.
Mm.
And DC announced a cyborg film, which would be... A cyborg is an African-American guy who has, like, lost his body, is basically like a RoboCop.
Yeah, anybody who's seen Teen Titans will know who he is.
Yeah, exactly. He's basically like a more human RoboCop.
Yeah.
And people were like ecstatic that they had finally an African-American lead in a superhero film. And then Marvel, as soon as DC announced this list, Marvel announced their list just to kind of counter DC and got a lot more hype for it. And they went, you know what, Black Panther coming out earlier than Cyborg.
Yeah.
We're going to have the first African-American lead in. Yeah, so it's really interesting to see that dynamic work there where DC are announcing their stuff first, but Marvel are just like, oh, you know what, we've been patient, but now's the time to come out with ours.
Yeah.
Boom! Slamming DC in the face, being like, what up? We got the best stuff. We're going to come out before you guys.
What up?
And, like, our fans are far more loyal than your fans.
They really are.
Because a lot of people I find who love DC have diverted to Marvel instead because Marvel is just so on top of it.
Yeah.
And Marvel is doing, like, much, much better than DC. Whereas a lot of Marvel people aren't going to DC because there's no point going to DC.
Why would you?
Yeah, exactly. When Marvel are doing so well and they're getting so much in return from
Marvel. Yeah.
DC just doesn't know how to understand and how to communicate with its fans.
Yeah.
And yes, it was great giving us this list, and it was also great not giving us dates for standalone Batman or Superman films.
Mm.
But they just don't know how to deal with fans in the same way that Marvel does.
Yeah, I agree.
Because DC seems like they're rushing a lot.
Yeah.
Marvel's just more like patient, calculated, we're going to do it when the time is right. And they slam DC, like in a way that we've never seen before.
Yeah, this very true.
This battle between these two industries, these two studios, it's just, it's so one-sided. And DC really needs to pick up their game.
Absolutely.
But if we're going to continue with the Marvel list, we've also got coming out in May 4th, 2018.
We've got Avengers Infinity War Part 1.
So it's really interesting to see that they're splitting up the Avengers Infinity War into two parts. So essentially they're going to be four Avengers films, which people found shocking when they first saw that, because we were all under the impression there were going to be three.
Yeah.
And the third one was going to be this massive Thanos clash. But it's really interesting to see this, because this isn't like a book is being translated into two films.
Yeah.
This is a these are two standalone films that are just being named Part 1 and Part 2. So it's the same storyline, but it's not like it's being translated from some other source, or some other material. So it's really interesting the way they've done this, and I don't know how to take that. What's your opinion on the splitting there?
Look, I'm actually really happy with it. Only because it's Marvel, I'm cynical to think that this is just a money grab.
Yeah.
Because
they are really fans.
Yeah. Marvel, it seems to be that they are so dedicated to their fans.
Yeah.
That by splitting up the movies, the emphasis is like less of a Mockingjay Twilight kind of like,
yeah,
let's split it up into two movies so that we can get like
cash.
So much money. Yeah. Cash money. What I feel like what they're actually doing, and this is the kind of the ideological, like, innocent Marvel fan inside of me, really, really wants this to just be so they can flesh out the story. And that makes me happy. Do we know a split between Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and 2?
What do you mean?
As in, like, the release dates?
Well, yeah, so it's going to be a good year.
Yeah.
Literally a year.
It is a year.
Like, 364 days is going to be the difference.
See, whenever they split movies up into two, because Kill Bill was really one of the first movies to really do it.
Especially one of the original films that's not coming from another source.
Yeah. And the reason that I like the way that Kill Bill was split up, and anybody who you know will know Kill Bill is one of my favorite movies, it was split up into two films because as one film it was too long to run. It was like 4 hours.
Right.
But the split was really good because they released them within like a month or two of each other.
Yeah.
So they released Part 1 and then like 2 months later they released Part 2.
Mm.
And I really like that. And so I would much rather than Infinity War Part 2 was released closer to the date. That would make me a little less cynical. But also I kind of hope, I'm really hoping that it's just to flesh it out and make it a whole lot cooler.
Although, like you say that, but I think that year there is necessary because they have got two movies in between the two.
Yeah.
They've got Captain Marvel on July 6, 2018.
Which I'm really excited for, because Captain Marvel is something that they have never really kind of talked about.
And especially since this Captain Marvel is apparently going to be the female Captain Marvel, which is great. So that's another female standalone lead in their own film. So although DC will get there first with Wonder Woman in 2017, that's still not enough, because Captain Marvel, even though, like, in the same way Guardians of the Galaxy wasn't really well-known, Marvel just does so well with its marketing
that
it's probably going to become bigger than Wonder Woman. Like, I personally don't know much about Captain Marvel, even though I know that he was first, a man in the comic books, but then they all of a sudden changed it to become a woman. Not in terms of, like, the same character that just had a gender change. It was just, like, they rebooted the franchise with a woman. And I don't know much about it, but I am more psyched about Captain Marvel than I am about Wonder Woman.
I'm not psyched about Wonder Woman. I wanted Olivia Munn to be Wonder Woman. I'm still not over that.
So I'm just like, it just goes to show how well Marvel is doing, and that they can introduce characters that we don't know, but they just provide so much hope and so much trust in them that we believe that it's going to be better, and we're more excited about the Marvel movies that we don't know than we are about the DC movies that we do.
Definitely.
And it goes to show as well with Inhumans coming out November 2, 2018. I know nothing about the Inhumans.
Mm.
I know it's a collection of like X-Men style people, but that is all I know. And yet I am so pumped up for it, because it seems like it's, although like there are standalone movies, they're a part of a whole.
Yeah.
Whereas it feels like DC is just rushing to make this sort of like match up Avengers.
Yeah.
Marvel is sort of like, no, these little segments are going to have standalone things. They're going to appeal to different people. But in the end, it's all going to come together.
Well, look, I mean, in the new Marvel Cinematic Universe, they haven't made a bad movie yet.
No, not yet. Well, I mean, and Thor the Dark World was not great, but it wasn't amazing.
And so I think that something that we need to keep in mind is that we're allowed to be excited for all of these movies because Marvel has such a high standard.
Yeah, exactly.
Meanwhile, DC has
at least one.
Yeah, and they've been slipping.
Exactly.
And so I think that, you know, Marvel has done so well, not only with its marketing, but within the quality of its films.
Yeah.
And I am excited for all of these movies that are coming out within the next, like, 5 years.
Yeah. I'm fascinated. No, sorry. I'm just like, I'm blown away by the way Marvel has done so well with their marketing and with the way they treat their fans, because it is very much focused on what the fans want.
Yeah.
And when the fans asked for a Black Panther film, they were like, here you go, Black Panther film. When the fans asked for a Captain Marvel film, here you go, Captain Marvel film. And it's not just for... it's not just for fan satisfaction.
Yeah.
It's because it seems like it is part of a greater plan. Like, Marvel all along were planning to satisfy the fans in this way and give the fans what they want, but it was always going to be intertwined with this bigger plot. And I'm blown away by how well they've done it. And just, I think that Marvel is possibly the most successful studio in history in that sense.
I mean, I wouldn't actually disagree with you on that. Actually, I wouldn't actually disagree with you at all. I think that Marvel is probably one of the most successful studios in history.
Not just in terms of cash money.
No, but it's in terms of loyalty. And
it is probably the most successful
in terms of cash money. But just in terms of, like, quality of films and being able to maintain a loyal fan, not even just maintain it, increase their fan base.
Since 2008, it's 6 years later, almost 5 years later, Since 2008, it's almost 7 years later, so 6 to 7 years later, and the fan base is just blowing out of proportion. Yeah. Like, you should see the Comic-Con audience.
Yeah, exactly. They're ridiculous.
They're so big, and they're loud, and they're excited. And it's just, Marvel can do this.
Yeah, exactly.
Marvel, just, there is no other studio in history that has been able to have that big, that loyal fan base for such a long time. And the fact that they've got up until 2019...
Yeah, they're planning.
A good 11, 12 years
after
the original Iron Man was first, like, put into production.
Yeah.
And they look to have this fan base increased and still dedicated and devoted to Marvel up until 2019. It goes to show how well they've done and how much they've got planned. And how much they planned back in 2007 when they first started filming Iron Man.
Yeah.
It's like, it just shows a really well thought out process. Something that DC struggles to do now because... everything they're doing is in reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's that sort of action reaction thing where Marvel's doing an action, DC is reacting.
Yeah.
And that's why DC is really in the background.
Yeah.
It's because Marvel is doing the proactive stuff.
And DC, instead of being on the offensive, they're on the defensive, and I think that it's really showing.
Yeah.
So I think that, I mean, just the fact that the quality of DC movies is so, like, much less than Marvel.
I mean, we just can't trust DC as of yet. They've released one film, which was mediocre to say the least.
Man of Steel was... I just did not like
it. It's just disappointing. But, like, as well as, like, the next film that they're releasing, which is Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, and they lost a lot of respect there by casting choices.
Yeah.
With they're flooding it. And we might as well start talking about it now because it's the first film in the DC list. They're flooding it with a whole load of different characters in the Justice League in one film that they haven't introduced in their own standalone films. They're introducing Batman, played by Ben Affleck. They're introducing Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. They're introducing Jason Momoa as Aquaman. They're introducing Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor, which astounds me. They're introducing Jeremy Irons as Alfred. That's five massive Justice League characters right there.
And you can't see, but I'm shaking my head.
I just don't understand. This is coming out in March 2016, and they changed the time to not compete with Captain America 3, which was a smart move.
Because
if they had competed with Captain America 3...
they would have been destroyed.
They would have lost. Because, honestly, with that huge a cast, with mismatched casting such as Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor, which I am so surprised
about. All I
can
picture is him playing Mark Zuckerberg and just being like, Superman, actually. This is so bad.
I'm kind of baffled as to how DC thinks that this is going to turn out. I don't know whether they think it's going to be massively successful or not. And it probably will be
but successful. After Man of Steel, I just can't picture this movie doing well.
I just, like... Ben Affleck as Batman, I'm fine with it. Look,
I'm fine with that.
After
Ben Affleck is great.
He's a great actor, and as a superhero, like, obviously Daredevil was shocking as hell.
But like, after he redeemed himself in like Gone Girl and stuff.
And like, after seeing photos of him as Batman, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm fine with that. Batman, Superman, like, I like Henry Cavill's Superman.
Yeah.
I'm fine with Ben Affleck so far as Batman. Just whatever. But when you've got... And Jeremy Irons, I think, fantastic as Alfred. That's great. But when you've got Lex Luthor, Jesse Eisenberg, and you're introducing Wonder Woman...
And Aquaman
in this film, it's just... It seems like it's going to be a shamble.
Thumbs down.
Yeah. I mean, like, they have got their own standalone films later. Wonder Woman and...
And Aquaman,
I should say. Which is great, which means that maybe they'll just be cameos in Batman Dawn of Justice, but it still has that risk of too much saturation, too much sort of like rushing to introduce us to the Justice League.
And if Marvel has taught us anything, is that you can't throw characters into movies.
No, exactly. We had a good 4 movies before the Avengers. Whereas this is like Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, just Dawn of Justice shows us that this is really the first Justice League film. It's because this is where they all combine, whereas we didn't see them combine until Avengers.
Yeah.
Which was a good 4 years after Iron Man and then Thor and Captain America and Iron Man 2.
I just feel like Marvel has so much fun with their movies.
They do.
And then DC's movies are just like devoid of that factor.
I mean, it's fine to have gritty series. Yeah. And I loved The Dark Knight because they had that realistic, gritty attitude about it. But it just feels like in this, it's gritty, but in a way that doesn't make the characters interesting.
I also just have issues with the fact that Dark Knight Rises came out like so recently.
Yeah.
Like, was it 2 years ago?
It was 2012.
2012.
Sorry.
And, like, 2 years... Within 1 year of Dark Knight coming out, they had cast Ben Affleck as Batman.
Yeah.
That's so soon after Christian Bale was, like, delivered an amazing performance as Batman. Yeah. And I think that it's going to be hard for people in their minds to reconcile the fact that Ben Affleck is now Batman, less than... a year and a half after The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to talk about back-to-back casting like that, might as well just go into the next movie.
Suicide Squad.
So Suicide Squad is going to be released in August 2016. Literally in the past 48 hours, the entire cast has been... The cast of the Suicide Squad has been confirmed.
Let's be honest, I'm actually quite excited about this.
Okay. Let's just say right now, I'm a fan of these casting choices.
Yeah, me too.
So Suicide Squad is basically a group of 6 supervillains from the DC Universe that have been hired by Amanda Waller, who is like some sort of, I don't know, like a Nick Fury sort of person. And she hires them to do tasks that are almost suicidal to redeem themselves or to get like a lesser sentence in Arkham Asylum. And so the Suicide Squad has been cast, and they will feature villains that we will know and that we recognize. So Will Smith has been cast as Deadshot. So do you want to give a little bit about Deadshot?
I literally have no idea who Deadshot is.
So Will Smith has been cast as Deadshot. Deadshot is basically a guy in a suit who fires rifles and snipers, and he never misses.
Yeah.
He has like a cool red eye and whatnot. So that's an interesting character choice, casting choice. I'm actually a big fan of him because Will Smith is kind of that really likable guy.
I do know who Deadshot is. It's really awkward. I was just like, why does this character sound so familiar? And I was like, I totally know who that is. Will Smith is quite a talented actor, and
he's a really likable guy.
Yeah, like I just recently watched the first. In the past 6 months, watched the first few seasons of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air again.
Oh, yeah.
And Will Smith is actually like a very talented actor, he can do this very well.
I mean, we saw it in like Pursuit of Happiness. And he was awesome in Pursuit of Happiness.
And movies like Hancock aside, Will Smith is a very talented dude, and I think that he can do quite well with his character.
Yeah, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah.
Next, we got The Enchantress, how do you spell it? Cara Delevingne.
Yes, Cara Delevingne. I don't know. I can never pronounce her name.
So look her up on IMDb. So Cara Delevingne, I don't really know her from very much, but she's playing The Enchantress, who is like quite a big villain in the DC universe. She was in quite big storylines in the comic books.
Yeah, but
I don't really want to give too much away because they might be involved somehow in the Suicide Squad. But Cara Delevingne herself has been in like Pan. So yeah, she's coming out in Pan. She's been in Anna Karenina.
Yeah,
so,
which was the Jude Law movie.
She hasn't been in too much.
No, she's a fairly new face. But
yeah, but she seems like a okay choice.
Well, someone else who I'm actually really excited to see is also a fairly fresh face, which is Margot Robbie, who people will recognize from The Wolf of Wall Street, who is playing Harley Quinn.
Yes.
From the DC universe, Batman-y kind of universe.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm really excited to... As somebody who grew up with watching Batman the Animated Series, Harley Quinn was a character that I was always really interested in. She was always really funny and kind of like crazy, but less crazy than the Joker. And I really, really, you know, love seeing Harley. And so I kind of wanted her, because there were always rumors that she would come into the Dark Knight universe, and she never really did. And so I'm quite excited to see her in Suicide Squad.
Especially Margot Robbie. I mean, she is a really good actress.
She did well in Wolf of Wall Street.
And just the look, her look is so Harley.
Yeah, it really is. I can vividly imagine what she'll be like.
Yeah, literally, her facial structure and her hair is just... perfect picture of Harley Quinn. So I'm super excited about that. Another really interesting choice, talking about back-to-back casting, is Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
He's going to be playing Rick Flagg, who is like a big, strong, muscly guy.
Yeah.
And it's
classic
really...
Tom Hardy.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just really interesting that they've chosen him as yet another DC villain.
Yeah.
Just years after he played Bane in The Dark
Knight. Oh, yeah, exactly.
So I'm really interested by that casting choice. I mean, Tom Hardy, fantastic cast.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he's a strong, muscly, great actor, so we know he can do it. It's just interesting that they've decided to choose that despite the fact that there was that hanging cloud there of Dark Knight Rises. I mean, I just think it'd be interesting if, like, Tom Hardy, like, if Rick Flagg and just Batman look at each other and they kind of, like, make a double take and it's like, do I know you from somewhere?
That would be so great. But DC doesn't do stuff like that.
No, they don't.
And so I'd enjoy it if they did, but I'm not going to hold out for it.
But Tom Hardy, I think that's a great casting choice, regardless of Bane. I think that's a separate field.
Yeah.
Dark Knight is his own sort of sphere there of, like, amazingness. And then we've got Jai Courtney playing Boomerang, or Captain Boomerang. Jai Courtney, who we talked about earlier, is an Australian actor who was in Divergent. He's in Terminator Genesis. Yep. So we don't know too much about him, but he's an accomplished actor, clearly doing some action stuff. And Captain Boomerang, people love Captain Boomerang. I don't know much about him myself.
Me neither.
But I presume he uses boomerangs to kill people.
Very fitting name.
Yeah. So he's there. I'm hyped about him, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like he fits the role, I guess.
Yeah.
But the main part.
Yes. While
Jesse Eisenberg is returning as Lex Luthor, well, might be playing the villain or whatnot, I don't mind.
I'm going to go back and bang my head against the brick wall.
Exactly. When we heard that Harley Quinn was going to be played by Margot Robbie, I think, and as we posted on the Facebook page, Rohan and I have been discussing it for ages.
Yes.
We were like, Joker. Harley Quinn is such a massive part of the Joker's story.
Yeah, she's pretty much the Joker's, like, number two.
Yeah, and if you can't have Harley Quinn without the Joker. And there were rumors going around about Ryan Gosling being the Joker. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, really? And not a big Ryan Gosling fan. Really? Especially as the
Green
Joker.
Green Lantern, like,
Oh, he wasn't. That was Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, damn it.
Ryan Gosling is crazy, stupid love and whatnot.
Yes.
He's never played a superhero before.
Ryan Gosling is the Notebook.
Yes. And it's really interesting that we're thinking this, because this is literally like 6 years after Heath Ledger's Oscar-winning performance as the Joker, which is honestly one of the single best acting performances of anyone in history. It's absolutely fantastic. And to see that there has been a casting decision made. And it was rumored earlier. We didn't give any spoilers in the past podcast, but it has been confirmed now.
Yeah, and I'm so excited. It's Jared Leto.
Jared Leto is officially playing the Joker.
And Jared Leto is such a good actor. Like, I'm not even worried about this at all.
I'm not worried. That's the most exciting part of this list.
Absolutely.
I have no qualms about Jared Leto playing the Joker. He has the physique. He has the acting ability. He has the voice. I just think this is one of the most perfect casting choices.
Yeah.
That they could have made.
Yeah, and this is an award-winning actor.
Yeah.
Like, Jared Leto is accomplished beyond belief. So
he won an Oscar last year for Dallas Buyers Club. So I think this is an incredible casting choice. Really, really great. And just to have Jared Leto on board and agree to do this,
yeah.
To think that he has the confidence to say, you know what, I'm going to do the Joker and I'm going to do it, follow up from Heath Ledger's Oscar-winning performance, yeah. As it, and I'm going to do it in my own way. And we know that if anyone can recreate the Joker in his own way, that is separate from Heath Ledger's Joker, so we can love Heath Ledger as well as Jared Leto's. It is Jared Leto. Because he's done so many different roles and he can take on so many different characters and do them in his own way.
Absolutely.
And the Joker is no exception. Mm. And I'm super excited about it.
Fantastic. It's going to be so good.
I mean, Jared, I'm just looking at his face right now.
Yeah.
And I can picture him, like, with the thin, gaunt jawline. Because he's a person who can change his body like nobody I've ever seen before. Mm. I mean, if you've seen him in Dallas Buyers Club, he thinned himself down an incredible amount, and then he gained weight for another movie, like he became obese and then lost it again. It's just, he's a person who can change his body even more than Christian Bale can.
Yeah, which is insane. Like, if you've seen The Machinist, yeah, and then Dark Knight, like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. So, Jared Leto, I'm just picturing his gaunt face with the makeup and his lanky physique and just, like, sort of creepily waltzing into the stage.
I just really want to see that relationship that the Joker has with Harley Quinn. Like, that's just such a great relationship. It's so cool, and I'll just be really interested to see what they do with it.
Yeah, and what's really fascinating as well is that Jared Leto is 42.
Yeah.
And Margot Robbie is like 28 or something. And that those,
which is why I think it might end up being more of a like father-daughter kind of thing.
See, I'm not sure. Because
they've done several things with it in the past. Like, some people portray it as a father-daughter thing. Some people portray it as kind of like a kind of weird, twisted love thing. And so you never really know. And then some people see it as like a businessy relationship. And so, you know, I'd be really interested to see exactly what they do with it.
Yeah, sorry, Margot Robbie's only 24.
Yeah.
But the thing is that with Jared Leto, I was shocked to find that it was like 40, 42.
Yeah.
Because he looks 30.
I mean, it's the same thing with like the Pharrell Williams, like forever young, right? Like fountain of youth kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. But Jared Leto, I mean, it's a shame that he's probably going to have to cut his hair.
Oh, yeah, those beautiful locks.
I mean, he can play a Joker with long hair, but just not as long as he has.
Yeah.
So it's a shame to see those wonderful locks go and the beard leave, but I mean, because I saw him live earlier in the year.
Really?
30 Seconds to Mars.
So
I've seen the guy in person, and he's incredible on stage.
Yeah.
He's possibly the single best, like, one-man show.
It's hard to be, like, a good live performer. Like, yeah. I've seen many live performers that are, like, terrible, but are great, like, recording.
He's the person that can move across the stage, and he's a very physical performer and in acting as well, where he can move around, but his voice is just, like, so consistent and incredible as well. And it's just this physical comedy, not comedy, this is physical performance that I feel like will really make or break his Joker performance.
Yeah.
Using his body in a way that can contort and twist such that it becomes this creepy character. And so I think, I speak for both of us when I say that Jared Leto, fine choice, super excited, even more so than I am about any other casting choice.
Yeah.
Even more so than Benedict Cumberbatch, which is surprising. This is the one thing that DC has going for it.
It really does. I'm very excited for the Suicide Squad. I think it's going to be really good.
I wasn't before.
Yeah.
I wasn't before excited about the Suicide Squad. But, I mean, now I am. If I had a different person other than Jared Leto, I'd be like, ooh, no. Like, if Ryan Gosling got it, I'd be like, oh, Suicide Squad, kind of going to fail. But with Jared Leto there, amazing. And Amanda Waller as well has been rumored to be played by either Oprah, Octavia Spencer, or Viola Davis. I think all of which are Oscar winners.
Yeah.
Oprah
won an Oscar for The Color Purple, I'm pretty sure.
And I think Octavia Spencer and or Viola Davis got for The Help.
Yeah, for The Help.
So two of the three of them are at least Oscar winning.
Yeah.
So I think it's Octavia Spencer won.
Yeah.
And Viola Davis was nominated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's going to be fantastic there to have either of those. But really, the emphasis is on Jared Leto as the Joker. And to see what role the Joker will play, whether he'll be a part of the Suicide Squad, whether he'll be the villain, whether he'll be the Suicide Squad member that's kind of like, oh, you know what, I'm kind of part of it, but like I'm really secretly planning to do my own thing. But obviously, I reckon the Joker is going to be the main focus of the movie, which is obviously the best thing that they can do.
Yeah.
Either that is just going to be a cameo, which I think is a waste of Jared Leto's potential.
Yeah, really.
But this is the casting choice that I'm surprised about that I like.
Yeah.
Because I was shocked when they said that the Joker would be in it just several years after Heath Ledger's performance. and yet I'm so hyped for it.
Yeah, me too. So, absolutely.
Suicide Squad, August 2016. And Wonder Woman is also coming out June 2017. Gal Gadot returning as Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I think she's probably only going to have a cameo in Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, probably. I highly doubt whether it'll be anything else. I'm still not over Olivia Munn not being cast as Superman.
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. Oh, so close. So close.
Wonder Woman, yeah. This is going to be the first female-led superhero movie.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they've taken their time for that, haven't they?
Yeah, they really have.
I mean, they've had a few Wonder Woman movies in the past, but, like, just in like this era, yeah. In this era, this is, like, the first female-led one, and they've taken their time, man.
They really have.
It's about time that they've done this. The onus was really on DC to have that first female-led superhero performance,
yeah.
Because Marvel doesn't really have that many.
Yeah.
Even then, like, Black Widow, The Wasp, Captain Marvel.
Black Widow, baby.
Even then, those three aren't necessarily big enough roles to have their own movies earlier on in the franchise. Whereas the onus was on DC to have that Wonder Woman movie early on, and they haven't really been able to get their shit organized.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that. They haven't been able to get their stuff organized
in time. Yeah.
But at least they're doing it.
Yeah.
It's coming out.
True.
And it'll be followed by the Justice League Part 1 in November 2017. So 2017 is going to be a big year. You've got Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, Wonder Woman, and Justice League Part 1. So that's five massive movies that year.
That's huge.
Three of which are Marvel, two of which are DC.
Yeah.
So 2016, 2017, massive years. Justice League Part 1, obviously going to have Wonder Woman in there. Although, it's interesting that The Flash and Aquaman are going to be released in the year following.
Yeah.
Even though Aquaman is rumored to be to have a cameo in Batman vs. Superman.
Mm.
So it's interesting to see that while they won't be introducing Aquaman or The Flash in until like they've had their own standalone films, in the similar way to Marvel, they won't combine them until they've had their standalone films.
Which is interesting.
It's good, but like at the same time, Aquaman will have
had
his presence there as a cameo.
Well, DC's definitely kind of thawed it out a little bit because, I mean, DC's planning for the long term and, like, we'll get to that in a sec, but, like...
But it's not in a
it's
way...
It's not...
Because,
yeah.
like, they're planning from the long term starting now.
Yeah.
Marvel is planning from the long term
starting in 2008. Yeah.
So, and it's just, like, Marvel's introducing their characters in their own standalone films. And while DC's characters do have their own standalone films, they're introducing them through cameos.
Yeah.
Which kind of, like, it's a little bit frustrating to be given this teaser and then not have them introduce, or not have, like, Aquaman introduced in the next Justice League film, because there's, like, we know he's there.
Mm.
Why isn't he part of Justice League? I think they should have a standalone Aquaman film and then have the Justice League. But it's because they're so eager to rush and to make a film that, like, can compete with the Avengers. And it's too rushed for me.
Mm.
They need to have the Aquaman before Justice League, and then, but then I guess the issue is that Justice League will be pushed to 2018, which is when Avengers Infinity War Part 1 comes out.
Yeah.
Which makes that a challenge. But, like, I suppose they've got to be patient.
Yeah, they do.
Marvel's been patient. DC are having to work around Marvel's schedule. And that was really showcased when they moved Batman and Superman forward, so it didn't, into, like, an almost death period in March.
Yeah.
So that it didn't so it didn't clash with Captain America Civil War in May, which is like the big blockbuster period. So DC are really, I don't want to say it, but they're Marvel stooges there.
Yeah, they really are.
They're trying to be Marvel, but they're doing it in a way that's like they have to work around them. It's like they're Marvel's employees and they follow what Marvel says.
Mm.
And it's embarrassing, I think. I mean, they're doing fine. Well, they haven't released enough films for me to distrust them.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting from a marketing standpoint and from a person who, like, used to really enjoy DC.
I used to really enjoy it. Well, DC was very much like our childhood. We saw more DC growing up than we did Marvel.
It wasn't until 2007, 2008 that we started. Well, like, X-Men, sure, but that wasn't really Marvel. And Spider-Man, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, it wasn't until 2008 that this Avengers sort of thing
became
big. And I've... After Iron Man, when there was, like, this absence of DC, because Dark Knight doesn't count.
Yeah.
I completely reverted to Marvel, and now I'm a diehard Marvel fan, and I will be to the end of the days. Purely because Marvel has done so well. Well, fingers crossed. But it's just, I can't picture Marvel not doing well. I mean, they will obviously have flaws.
Yeah, but they've pretty much developed this kind of, like, perfect formula for how to make their movies.
Yeah, exactly. And then in 2018, going back to DC, we have two standalone films, The Flash in March.
Yep.
And
Aquaman in July.
Played by Jason Momoa, who we know as Drogo.
Oh, yeah! Drogo. I was wondering why I knew that name sounded familiar.
Yeah, so he's the Hawaiian guy who who became famous by doing the Haka at an audition for Game of Thrones and then was cast as Khal Drogo and is now, like, the biggest badass in Hollywood.
He really is, actually.
He's a sick actor. And I think that's a fascinating casting choice because it shows that they're going to bring this gritty sort of element to Aquaman.
Yeah.
Whereas Aquaman is, like, being panned by critics for being this pretty boy.
Yeah, he's, well, this, like, good. Like, we think that Captain America is a goody two-shoes. Like, Aquaman is, like...
Fishies. Yeah, exactly. He's like, oh my god, the fishes.
Oh my god, the fishes.
You gotta save the fishes from the whaling and the oil spills.
Yeah.
And gotta join the Greenpeace and the, And then we get another standalone film in April 2019, which is Shazam with The Rock as Black Adam.
Shazam.
Yeah. So that's an interesting casting choice. I thought The Rock would play a great Shazam.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, he's playing the Shazam's villain, which is Black Adam.
Yeah.
So, interesting how they're going to do that. We don't know much about Shazam himself. I think they changed Shazam's name because it used to be, I think, was it Captain Marvel or used to be something Marvel? And then they had to change it because it, like, Marvel, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they changed it to Shazam with an exclamation mark and then...
Shazam.
Yeah, exactly. So... The Rock is a good choice. Jason Momoa, a great choice. I think they're going down this sort of, like... this non-Caucasian route, which is great.
Yeah.
I like that.
Tumblr will have, like, a great time with that.
But, yeah, exactly.
With POCs.
Yeah. Especially with Jason Momoa as Aquaman. I'm super excited about that. That's like, DC hasn't done too badly in terms of its casting post-Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
Like, its Suicide Squad casting and its Aquaman casting and Shazam casting are actually...
pretty good.
Pretty decent.
Yeah.
But it's just those little blunders with Jesse Eisenberg... as
it only takes and as Lex Luthor, but it only takes one blunder.
Yeah, exactly.
To,
I think,
you know, knock down that house.
But not just the casting; it's just like trying to flood their movies with so many big characters without having the standalone films yet.
Just trying to do too much in a small space. That was my critique of my critique of Man of Steel was it didn't do enough in that small space.
Yeah,
but I feel like my critique with any like a DC potential storyline would be that they're trying to do too much.
Yeah. And then they've got Justice League Part 2 in June 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll bring in The Flash, Aquaman, Shazam, Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman. And that's going to be a big one. I mean, at that point, they would have had loads of standalone films.
Yeah.
So I have more hope for Justice League Part 2 than I do for Justice League Part 1.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be coming off the back of Avengers Infinity War Part 2.
Yes,
About a month later.
Wow.
So
okay.
It's very, very, very close.
It's interesting, though, that Marvel in 2019, on May 3rd, it ends with Avengers Infinity War. And then the aftermath of Avengers ending and Marvel ending is going to be followed... almost immediately by DC entering their last phase.
Yeah, but their last phase being over a period of almost over a year.
Well, yeah, they've got a lot of films going on. They've got Cyborg in April 3rd, 2020.
Yep, then Green Lantern,
June 19th, 2020. And Justice League Part 3, 2020. Three huge films in 2020. Yeah. So it's like they've almost been like, oh, well, Avengers is over, let's just flood them all in 1 year.
Yeah.
Let's just do... like four or five films in 1 year.
Everybody will love us. There's nothing else to watch.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's like they won't care about us having to rush to meet Avengers. And it's interesting to see that they are ending their franchise literally a year after Marvel ends theirs. But they started their franchise in 2012.
Yeah.
Whereas 2013. Yeah. Started in 2013, a good 5 or 6 years after Marvel started theirs.
Yeah.
And I just... it's hard to trust that.
Yeah.
Know? I mean, they've got... and they've also got another Batman and Superman solo films that are undated somewhere in that list. They just haven't given us dates for them yet. They could be later on. They could be earlier on. I don't know. But that's 14 films that they're slamming in.
Yeah.
Into what?
Like one...
into a good 5 years.
Yeah.
5 years. 14 films. Marvel has got 12 films in the next 4 years or 5 years, which is less. But they've had this build-up there. But DC has to make the build-up and they have to provide the conflict, and they have to provide the cathartic moment at the end. Massive confrontation.
Within all 14 films within 5 years. Like, that's almost impossible.
That's a lot of films, and a lot of stuff to discuss and stuff to put on the big screen in a very short amount of time.
Whereas, for Marvel, they've got, like, what, it's 12 films coming out in the next couple of years, but it's...
Essentially, it's just... Avengers Phase 3.
Well, it's generally it's more like they've had 17 films in the last 13 years.
More than 17 films.
Yeah.
At that point, it would be...
That's like an opus.
At that point, so they've done 3 Iron Mans, 2 Avengers, 2 Thors, 1 Avengers. They would have done 20 films in 13 years. Which is like a long period of time, a lot of stuff that they've done... A lot of material, a lot of build-up,
it's a lot of establishing the universe. So,
is that
at this point, we've had 8 out of 20 films, which is almost half, which means that, like, we have already been well acquainted with the universe that these films are set in. There doesn't need to be any more set-up. There doesn't need to be anything else like that. And so, Marvel has already done their job, really.
While there doesn't need to be any more set-up for the characters that we've got, it allows them to... have set up for other characters and incorporate them into characters that we already know and love and create conflict.
It makes that universe just a whole lot more accessible.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's really important. While the DC universe is so gritty and so alienating and so new...
And trying to rush to
film
14 films in 5 years where they've only had one before. So really, it's 15 films that they're fitting since 2013 to 2020... But 14 of them are going to be compacted into 5 years, whereas Marvel, they've got 12 films in 5 years, but they've already got that 8 to rely on. It baffles me as to why DC doesn't take their time and go to 2022.
I don't know.
I mean, like, they could... I mean, maybe age or whatnot, like, obviously, maybe... Or Ben Affleck will probably not be capable of doing Batman in 2022, but I think... They just need to be patient, and they need to roll with the punches. Marvel are so adaptable. While they're adaptable, everything seems to still fit to this perfect plan.
Yeah.
And I don't want to glorify Marvel too much, and I don't want to diss DC because
they have them. Yeah, they have their flaws. They both have their flaws.
Yeah, exactly. But we're just basing this on past experience.
Yeah.
On their past resumes, because it really does show that we can trust them. And then everything that we're saying here is grounded in fact, not just us fanboying out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's really interesting as well is Marvel's dynamic with Sony and with Fox.
Oh.
Because forgetting DC for the moment, Marvel is like the king on the throne right now. Fox and Sony, if you don't know, Fox owns the rights to X-Men.
Yeah.
They will not be giving them up to Marvel. And Sony own the rights to
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. And I think... Is it Fantastic Four as well?
Oh, yeah, true.
Is Fantastic Four Fox? I don't know. I don't know who owns Fantastic Four. But
Marvel Fantastic doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah, Fantastic Four and X-Men won't be coming into the Avengers. Fine, I don't care. Wolverine's a little bit disappointing because he is technically part of the Avengers, but whatever. The main thing is Spider-Man. Spider-Man is an integral part to the Avengers.
Oh, my God.
Especially in the Ultron storyline.
Yeah.
He is big, and he is... I think he becomes the leader of the new Avengers.
Which is like
Wolverine, Spider-Man.
I started reading Ultimate Spider-Man when we were in year 12.
Yeah.
And in the Spider-Man universe, the Avengers is such an important part of it.
Yeah.
And not being able to see that on the screen is really it breaks my heart because it's so important in the Spider-Man universe and it plays such a big role and the end of, one of the major arcs in Ultimate Spider-Man involves the Avengers.
Yeah.
But, we're probably never going to see that until Sony decides, hey, maybe we'll sell Marvel back Spider-Man.
Well, I mean, Marvel really has the kingpin position.
Yeah.
They have the negotiating high ground, I guess, because Marvel has already said, we can make money.
Yeah.
We can do it without Spider-Man.
Yeah. Well,
even though it's disappointing for fans, fans will still go to see Avengers and will still love Avengers, no matter whether or not Spider-Man is in there.
Well,
Sony is struggling.
Yeah, the thing is, it's all dependent upon what the third Spider-Man movie does.
And Sinister Six.
Yeah, because Amazing Spider-Man was great.
Second Spider-Man sucked.
Amazing
Spider-Man sucked. Third Amazing Spider-Man has not been greenlit yet.
Yeah.
I should say that. It all, like, lies on Sinister Six.
Yeah.
Sinister Six is sort of like the Suicide Squad kind of thing.
Yeah.
In that it's like a series of villains like Venom and whatnot. Doing all sorts of tasks and whatever. We don't know much about the Sinister Six.
We'll see Dane DeHaan being Dane DeHaan. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's basically all Sony's future profits on Spider-Man rest on whether or not Sinister Six is capable of making money. If Sinister Six fails, they will not have enough of a fan base or enough trust in them to make another third Amazing Spider-Man. And at that point, Marvel can swoop in and be like, you know who can make money off Spider-Man, though, and will help you make money off Spider-Man? This guy right here.
And that's really what I want to see, because as a massive fan of Spider-Man and the Spider-Man universe, I just feel like, after seeing that second Spider-Man movie, I just feel like Sony is not doing Spider-Man justice. And that movie had the potential to be amazing, and I was so excited for it, and I went and saw it, and it was just absolutely terrible.
If Sinister Six doesn't work out, there are three possibilities that will happen. Sony will give up the rights to Marvel, so they don't have to keep paying for rights for Spider-Man, and they can spend money doing their own thing. Either they will make a deal with Marvel where they will both get profits for any movie where the Avengers and Spider-Man are in the same thing, or Sony will sell the rights to Marvel so they'll get some money for the rights, but then they won't get any profit from the films.
Or they'll do what I really don't want them to do and just
keep making amazing Spider-Man
well, films. Or just bury Spider-Man under a whole lot of like other movies and then resurrect him in 10 years.
Yes.
Which I really don't want to happen.
We should probably start wrapping up this podcast pretty soon, because this is a very long podcast.
Yeah, oh, we got a little bit too into this.
Yeah, but so we've gone through everything Marvel and everything DC. All the casting news, all the release dates, all the titles.
Yeah.
And Fantastic Four is all we haven't talked about yet, but essentially it's just they don't own the rights to Fantastic Four, and they've got, and the casting choices for that with like Miles Teller and Michael B. Jordan, and also Michael B. Jordan as an African-American Human Torch, and Jamie Bell as the Thing. Just quickly, what are your opinions on that?
Well, look, I wasn't a huge fan of the previous Fantastic Four movies, you know, with Jessica Alba and Michael Chiklis, but I think that potentially this could be good. I'm generally an optimistic kind of person, and hopefully they can do something interesting with this.
Yeah, look, I'm a fan of the casting. Miles Teller himself, I'm not a bit iffy about, purely because he's a bit of an annoying, arrogant sort of looking actor. Although apparently he was fantastic in Whiplash, which I haven't seen yet.
I haven't seen
that's
it
another
either,
Oscar.
Yeah.
That's another Oscar contender, which I got to look at. Just the others, like Michael B. Jordan, who has shown himself to be a great actor, and the fact that they've got directing it, the same director as Chronicle, who was an amazing, I love that movie.
Yeah.
And just, it's going to be a grittier take on the Fantastic Four rather than the sort of like Disney-esque sort of thing, where it's all comedy and bright colors. And it's just going to be grittier. It's going to be fun. I like that. It's going to be a different take for a Marvel film to take. But it's going to be interesting, but it's separate from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But that is essentially everything that you need to know for Marvel and DC and everything comic book movies coming out until 2020.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So until next time, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fictionfixofficial.
You can find us on Tumblr.com at tumblr.com/fictionfixofficial.
You can find me on Twitter with the handle at Rohan Hora.
You can find me on Instagram at Ben Chappell.
And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes so that you can get automatic updates every time we upload a new episode.
And share us with your friends, spread the word, and let us know what you want us to talk about next.
Yeah.
We will be back soon with a Christmas special.
It is the season.
Tis the season.
And also, before we leave, a special thanks to St. Morrison for letting us use his music in this podcast.
As usual, phenomenal music.
Yes, absolutely amazing. If you can, go and find him online and listen to some of his stuff, because it is great.
Absolutely. Until next time, we'll make a bad guess to join us. I didn't mess that one up.
Yay!
I always miss the fun of that.
Yes. Yay.
Take that, Marvel. I mean, DC. God damn it. Take that, DC.
Put that in the blue. That's so funny. Doesn't have a heart to break. I cut it up in all good faith.
then? So what's the deal with this malarkey at the party that you starting, man? Up, if I get heated, then I will take off this cardigan. No front, no folly, no, I am not Buddy Holly. But if I call for backup, then you will have to answer to Fonzie. Yeah, we French connected, floating past the flock. A bloody smash and called classic, attack the block. This Instagram a crash, you comp when I roll down the window. DeLorean drive by, pulling chrono triggers. Drag the sky to the ground, so I'm